أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. We've gathered tonight to remember Hazrat Fatima Ma'suma of Qum, salawatullah alayha. Keeping her memory in mind, I would like to, you know, dedicate the time to talk about the importance of namaz. Talking more about the issue of the Jamaat prayers and some of the basic rules, just as a reminder for ourselves. MashaAllah, all of you are learned. You know most of the rulings. But there's a need to remind ourselves about some of the basic points again and again. But let me start by talking about the importance of namaz, that prayer is an integral part of religion. All religions, actually. You can't find a religion which doesn't have a program of worship or prayers. In Islam, of course, it is more intensified, where we have these five daily prayers as wajib, besides all these nafila and the recommended prayers, but the five ones are wajib as long as a person is, you know, mentally alert. We have to do the namaz. There is no retirement age for it. Yes, physically we could be challenged. And then, you know, the mode of prayers would change. How do we do it? Depending on the challenges that we have physically. But as long as we are mentally alert, even if we have to do it lying down on the bed, we still have to do the namaz. Just to give you an example of importance of this, there was a tribe in Arabia known as the tribe of Saqif, a very prominent tribe, and they eventually decided to become Muslims. So they sent a delegation to Medina, to the Prophet. Now, this was very interesting. You know, people would come, delegations will come from different tribes, you know, in a way expressing their willingness to accept Islam, and that was the end of the story. But the delegation which came on behalf of the Saqif tribe, they wanted to negotiate some concessions before they accept Islam. So they asked for three things. And when I was reading it, I said, this looks very modern. You know, let's get some concessions before we accept. Maybe we can negotiate, you know, this admission into Islam. So the first thing they said that, well, you know, we have an idol which you have been worshiping for generations. We have kind of a soft, you know, corner for it in our heart. So yes, when we become Muslims, we will not worship the idols, but don't ask us to destroy that by our own hands. Send some people from Medina, you know, who will destroy it, because we can't find this courage in ourselves to destroy the idol. The second was the issue of, you know, we live a very free, you know, sexual life, so this zina and adultery, all this, we should be given exemption for that. We should be able to continue our lifestyle. And the third way that we want exemption from namaz. And this is where Rasulullah said, when it comes to the first request you have, okay, I'll send two individuals who will go back with you to your tribe, and they will destroy the idols. I'll not bother you to do that. But when it comes to the second one, you know, immoral behavior, absolutely no. There's no compromise on that. And when it comes to this exemption for salat, he says, لا خير في دين لا صلاة في. There is no good in a religion which doesn't have prayers in it. And so this is where we see, you know, prayers and deen become kind of, you know, one. You can't have a deen which doesn't have prayers. In Islam, salat is not only prayers. Individually, when we do it, it is more a personal act, which is a good thing, of course, and it is wajib. But Islam is also a communal, a social religion. We have to remember, you know, Islam wants us to realize all the time, we are not just individuals, we are part of a community. And one way of emphasizing this is the way we have what we know as namaz-e-jama'at, the congregational prayer. And this is given high importance in Islam, and you'll see any Muslim society you go, this is considered to be a very important point. To the extent that if you have somebody who have never seen before comes even one time for the Jama'at prayers, that would be sufficient to accept that person as a Muslim. You don't have to go and say, can you show me a certificate? Did you go and recite the Shahada? Or can you repeat? Just, you know, being part of the Jama'at prayer itself is actually recognition that I am a Muslim. And so keeping that in mind, I just want to take this opportunity tonight to refresh our own memories about some of the important rules. I hear complaints again and again, although we have talked about it many, many times, but I realize there are certain things which has to be reminded again and again. And at those moments, I always, you know, feel like what happens in the airline. We travel every time, and every time we are told, listen to the, you know, instructions about security and safety. And so it is a reminder which is sometimes, you know, required even for our, you know, daily, you know, ritual. Salawat padne ke baad aur. But before even I go to the rulings, let me just go through some rulings which emphasize this importance of Jama'at prayer. The five namaz are wajib on us, individually or in a congregational form. But when you do it in Jama'at form, it is recommended. And among the five prayers, the Fajr and Maghrib and Isha, it is even more higher, you know, recommendation to go and do those in Jama'at form. So for Zohar and Asr, there is kind of a lower, you know, emphasis. But the recommendation is there, but more for Fajr and Maghrib and Isha. To the extent that, for example, if you go into the masjid and you see, okay, today the Maghrib was, let's say, at 5. And you know that the Imam of the masjid or the organizers have scheduled the Maghrib Jama'at prayer at 5:15. So the time is at 5, but the Jama'at is going to be held at 5:15. So then you will say, well, I'm losing the 15 minutes fazilah time. So let me just go and do it alone. I don't need to wait for everyone. Well, you actually, the recommendation is wait. Even if the Jama'at prayer is being delayed in the middle or the end of fazilah time, you know, the recommendation is that you wait. Don't do farada. Wait for the Jama'at, but within the fazilah time, that has more ajr and sawab. The second thing, even more important, and interesting actually, suppose you already done your Maghrib namaz. You didn't know there's Jama'at going to happen after 20 minutes. So you did your Maghrib namaz farada, and then you see, oh, now people are gathering, and then there is adhan, and then iqama, and the imam is coming. And there, this is the place where before, because you did your namaz furada, there is still a recommendation that you can repeat that same namaz in jama'at with the same niyat. Only the form is changing. There was furada, this is in a jama'at form. Of course, if you have qaza, then it's always more sensible to make to use that opportunity and to do the niyat of qaza and join the jama'at. But again, the importance is that, you know, even if you had done furada, let's say at home, and then you see the same namaz being done in a jama'at form, the recommendation is to go and repeat that in the jama'at form. The ajr and sawab, we always ask this question, what is in it for me? We want the numbers. Huh? Look at this chart on the screen. I don't want to go through the numbers here. If you have two people, is it there? Yes. If you have two people in Namaz Jamaat, one rakat becomes equal to 150 prayers. Or if you are doing, for example, Zuhur or Asr or Isha, four rakat namaz, if there are only two people, it becomes equal to the sawab of 600 prayers. And this goes on. When you have three people, what happens? Four people, what happens? And the last number is given for 10. Because the hadith says that if there are more than 10 people in a jamaat prayers, no one knows the number of sawab for that but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat manadik parah. So if we have 10 people doing jamaat prayer, Fajr, Maghrib, Isha, Fajr, Zuhur, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, 10 of them were there for that one day, the total sawab for that namaz for one individual would be 1.3, you know, million prayers. So it is completely out of our, you know, equation when we look at the number of the, this is where we see the importance of the jamaat prayers. One more mas'ala about it, just to show the importance of the jamaat prayer. You came into the masjid, you realize you came late, and the jamaat now is ending. They're already sitting down for their tashahud. So you missed it. The recommendation is to go quickly there, stand up, do your niyat for your namaz, do the takbir, and then sit down. And then follow the imam in the tashahud. Recite the tashahud with the niyat of qurbat. And once the imam starts salam, then you will get up and then you will continue. You already done the takbir first. So continue means that now you will start with Surah Fatiha and then continue your namaz on your own. Technically, your namaz was furada, but the reward and the thawab will be of jamaat prayers. Salawat pranayak parah. You know, this applies more to those who are living around. You know, those who are far away, they can be excused in some ways. You know, according to the ahadith that we have even from Amir al-Mu'minin, he says, you know, Jar al-Masjid, the neighbor of the masjid doesn't have a namaz at home. Means his namaz at home is not even counted as a namaz. Of course, you know, we're not talking about being very technical. It's just an emphasis. That if you are a neighbor of the masjid, then your namaz should be in the masjid other than for nafila. Nafila prayers we have in it. The emphasis is go and do it at home. Because you also need, you know, a place which can become the source of barakat inside your own home. Salawat pranayak barak. Now coming to some of the, you know, masail, just as far as the reminding ourselves is concerned, the most important issue in the jamaat prayer is the connection and the rules about distance. The distance, number one, between the imam and the ma'moom, between the various rows and the saf of the jamaat, one behind the other, and also between the people standing in the same saf and row. You are not allowed to have a distance which is more than 1 meter. Up to 1 meter is fine. If the imam and you, the distance between the two of you is 1 meter, you are okay. And we are talking about the distance between where the imam is standing and where you are going to put your forehead. That distance, even if it's 1 meter, that should be fine. The distance between two individuals in the same row. One, you know, the technical word they use is that, you know, a long stride or a long qadam or step. But when you ask the mujtahideen for the numbers, they will say 1 meter is the criteria. And even when it comes to the issue of one line and the second line or third line behind it, you had always remembered that the gap should not be, whether in front and back or side by side, it should not be one more than 1 meter. And this is what I think is important to realize, you know, when we have our some of the elderly people who do the namaz sitting on the chair, especially for Friday, you know, even for them, the connection will only be valid if there is at least one line of people from the last line of the jama'at. And this is where I think the volunteers have to look at this issue. Either you pull all the chairs to the end of the jama'at, last row, which is not easy because you don't know where, you know, how many people are going to show up, and moving chairs is not that easy. And so there should be actually some volunteers who should be there to guide the people, especially in Jummah when we have the partition. It should be there one, you know, line of people, one behind another, all the way till the, at least the distance between the first row of the chairs at the back and the last person should be less than 1 meter. This way you will basically connecting the people at the back with the jama'at. But if that connection is not there, then the people sitting in the chairs doing the namaz will have to do the furada niyat. That might work in all other namaz, but not in namaz-e-jumah, because namaz-e-jumah cannot be done in a furada, an individual form. It has to be done in the jama'at form. Salawat barakallahu alayhi. Is the masala clear? Okay. Then the distance about between men and women, if we don't have a barrier. This applies in masjid and at home and other places also. You realize that if the distance between the, and that is different from the issue of 1 meter. If a man and a woman do the namaz side by side, or the lady is in the front and in the second line is the man, then their namaz would be batil. Even if it's husband and wife, and the husband says, Bismillah, you lead and I'll follow. Many do that actually. But it wouldn't work. Even side by side, it wouldn't work. If the man is in the front and the woman is behind, that is okay. There is no problem there. If the man and the woman are side by side without a barrier, it only will be valid if the distance between them is 5 meters. So they have to be 5 meters apart. Even when we are talking about those who are mahram to one another at home. Salawat Pranay Parat. You know, there are groups in North America now who basically promote, they say, you know, there should be no gender segregation in namaz-e-jamaat, and even the issue of leading and things like that. And you see some examples. You know, they try to do this as a protest in New York and other places. But remember, you know, Islam is not just, you know, as we use the term, lawaris. There is a whole system. There is Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet and the Imams. There are hadiths. We have to look at it. We cannot do the ibadah the way we want it. What is the problem with shaitan? He never refused to do ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He just used his own aql when it came to the issue of doing sajda to Adam. He just used his own aql to say, I'm superior than him. And Allah says, go, I don't want. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do the namaz the way He wants that, not the way I feel about it. And this is where the people are missing out when they say, you know, oh, it is, you know, everybody is equal. Yes, everybody is equal, but there's certain things, the issue of modesty comes in, the issue of decency comes in interaction with one another. And all those rules come together when we talk about, you know, namaz e jamaat. And even the format of how men and women do the prayers is not exactly the same. For the men, it is, you know, emphasized, and the right way to do is that your hand should be on the knees. And you should bend in a way that you push your knees all the way back. For women, that's not the case. They will place their hands on the thighs, so they're not really bent totally, and they don't have to push their knees all the way back. Even this simple masail that we have in namaz, difference in the way men do the namaz and the women do the namaz, is everything to do with the issue of promoting decency and modesty in their interaction with one another. Salawat. Another important issue of the Jamaat prayer is the issue of, you know, following the Imam. You know, Namaz Jamaat actually creates this sense of fraternity among the members of the community. This is to emphasize we are not alone. Although we stand up and say, you know, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. It's a plural there where we say, O Allah, we worship only You. Even if you are alone, you still use the same term, we worship. You can't grammatically change and say, إِيَّاكَ أَعْبُدُ. Instead of noon, you say alif and make it singular because I am alone. No. Because Islam wants us to realize we are part of a community, even when we are alone. And this is reinforced by the process of, you know, coming for the Jamaat prayers. And this is where we come to realize there is no reserved space. Unlike many communities out there, the more you donate, you get the reserve spot in the first line. Yes, they are among Muslims, but not in the Shia madhab. You might have donated an entire money for the masjid, you know, but once you give it to the masjid, it is no more yours. Masjid belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All those people who come and pray there, they are all ibadah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no, you know, reserve spot for anyone. Even the waqif, the one who is doing the endowment, and the one who is donating and building, cannot say, okay, I donate this whole thing. 20 million I'll give you, but that one spot I want for myself or for my, you know, descendants, as long as the masjid is there. No, it will be batil. Because when you build the masjid becomes the property of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat. Something comes to mind, let me just share with you. During the early days of the revolution in Iran, some of the Sunni delegations had come. They went to visit one of the scholars those days in Qom. And they, in a way, complained that, you know, we don't see any Sunni masjid in Tehran. They are all Shia masjid. And then Alim turned around and he says, I didn't know we have Shia masjids. Masjid is masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no Shia masjid, Sunni masjid. You know, any masjid around the world belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, there are people who manage it, but when it comes to namaz, they cannot even restrict anyone. Because masjid is for the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that's where we see this sense of, you know, community building, you know, respect for one another, irrespective of the color and status and, you know, ethnicity and color and language and everything else. Salawat upon the Ekbar. Namaz Jamaat also creates this sense of, you know, discipline. You have the Imam. The word Imam here is not in the sense of the Imam 12 imams. No, they are leaders in a universal sense. Here the imam is imam of jama'at only. Namaz leading the prayers. And the rest of the people, the congregation, is known as ma'mum. They are the followers. And the title itself means that at least when it comes to the prayers, you have to follow. Always remember there are two things in mind. One is actions of namaz, one is recitations of namaz. When it comes to the actions of namaz, the ma'mumin have to follow the imam. It is not allowed for them to go ahead of the imam in action. If they knowingly and intentionally go ahead of the imam, for example, in ruku or in sajda, before the imam, knowingly and intentionally, then their jama'at becomes batil. They will have to change their niyat from jama'at to furada and then continue the prayers with the requirements of the furada prayers. Of course, if people do that, not knowingly, not intentionally, but because of the habit, and mashallah, many have that habit. If they are doing it out of habit, not really thinking about it, then their namaz is okay. But this is more relevant and important for the first line. I don't have eyes to see back. But I hear questions from people, complaints from people about it. So I don't know. You know, you have to think about it. Yes, there is a difference, you know, in Middle East when they do the namaz al jamaat. You know, they have a mukabbir there, a young man. You know, when he looks at the imam, then he says, Allahu Akbar ruku. But by that time, already the imam is going into ruku. Here, our mukabbir is this. As soon as we say, Allahu Akbar, I have not even started going to ruku, people are already in ruku. So give some time. There has to be some, you know, a few seconds there, gap between the imam on with the mic saying Allahu Akbar and going into the position of ruku. So this is important to keep in mind that, you know, it shouldn't be done knowingly and intentionally. So this is as far as actions are concerned. When it comes to the issue of recitations, in recitations, you know, when it comes to Zuhur and Asr prayers, of course, recitation, we are only talking about the first and second rakat. Third rakat, everybody has to recite, the imam as well as the ma'amun. When it comes to Zuhur and Asr, where the imam is reciting the surah silently, it is ihtiyati wajib. It is wajib on the basis of, you know, precaution to not recite the surahs. It is actually recommended that you recite the tasbih or the zikr. If you cannot be silent, then recite the tasbih. When it comes to Fajr and Maghrib and Isha, where the imam is reciting the surahs loudly, if you are able to hear the imam, even faintly, then you must remain silent. Listen to the recitation of the imam. Especially with the mic, you know, there's no issue of not hearing the imam, even if you're far away. But suppose there was no mic, and you are in the 10th row. You can't hear the imam, even in Fajr or Maghrib and Isha, not even faintly. Then either you remain silent or you recite the surah silently. Reciting the surah silently at that time actually is preferable. If you do not hear the imam reciting the surah in Fajr and Maghrib and Isha. Salawat Quran Akbar. This rule of jama'at, of, you know, following in actions, also when it comes to the surahs, to be silent, this is where we have to realize that this is, you know, also applies to the Jummah prayers. Juma prayers cannot be done for Adha. You know, sometimes people probably like Surah Juma. You can repeat it in your mind, but you cannot repeat it, you know, we cannot verbalize it. So if you really want to follow it in your mind. But you cannot verbalize it even silently. Because Zohar, Asr, or there it was silent, but in Juma it is loud there. And when you are able to hear it, then you must remain silent. Especially on the ladies' side, I'm told, you know, they like Surah Juma, so they read it. If you want to read it, read it later on. But not in namaz, because this is a jamaat prayer, and you are supposed to be silent and not recite the surah. When it comes to all other recitations, the ma'mumin have to do the recitations also. And it doesn't always have to be the same that the imam is recited. If imam is choosing one dua for qunut, you want to recite another one, you have the option of doing it. If the imam is reciting the zikr of ruku and only saying subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah three times, you want to say subhana rabbil azim wa bihamdi, you have the option of doing that. Salawat pranayak padar. Let me go back to history now. The first jamaat prayer in the history of Islam, which has been, is the recorded one. This was during the days, of course, in Mecca, when the namaz had come down and it was only two rakat. There was a person, business partner of Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet. He had come to Mecca to see him. While they were by the Kaaba, sitting there, all of a sudden they saw three people coming in, a man and a woman and a young child or a young boy. And, you know, the man stood, and then the boy was there on the side halfway, and then the lady behind. And he had never seen, you know, this action of, you know, kind of worship. So this traveler asked Abbas, what is this? I've never seen this before. He says, well, you know, that's my nephew. That is Muhammad bin Abdullah. He's come with a new religion, and this is what they are praying. And that young man behind him, slightly, this is my another nephew, Ali bin Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wasalam. And this lady standing behind is Khadija, the wife of my nephew. Salawat Pranay Akbar. And this is where we see that, you know, besides it being a visual demonstration of Islam, it is there now. It is a reality that the people of Mecca had to accept. It also shows this role of family of Ahlul Bayt in promoting Islam. And it's interesting that that first Namaz Jamaat, which is a recorded history, is only Rasul and Ali and Khadija. And this also shows this cohesion and unity in the family of the Prophet. You know, this is a great credit to him that the first person actually to accept the message that he brought was his own wife, because she knows him, you know, in public as well as in private. She knows his character. And this is where we see that, you know, this itself was a big testimony as far as the akhlaq and character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned. And so this sense of, you know, unity with Namaz Jamaat, although we see in a very small form here, a family only, this is where we have to realize when we talk about Jamaat, you know, doing Musafiha and things like that, this itself is to create more cohesion and unity among the members of our community, even in Karbala. You see that impact of the early days of this unity of the family is even seen in Karbala, that Hussein ibn Ali was fully supported by his extended family. He did not go there alone. His brothers were there, his nephews were there, other relatives were there. And this is where we see that, you know, when you talk about praying as a group, you are there all the time, in happy days as well as in challenges that we face in our lives. Salawat upon Akbar. جناب معصومہ کی اس وفات کی مجلس میں نماز جماعت کے بارے میں ہم نے کچھ باتیں آپ کے سامنے پیش کی ہیں. پہلی نماز جماعت کا جو واقعہ ہم نے بیان کیا ہے, یہ بتانے کے لیے کہ اسلام میں لیڈیز کا جو رول ہے اور امپیکٹ ہے بہت اہم ہے, ان کا جو اثر رہا ہے. جناب خدیجہ کو آپ دیکھ لیں, پہلی نماز جماعت جو ویزیبلی جو ریکارڈڈ ہے ہسٹری میں, اس میں خدیجہ موجود ہیں. اور اس میں اگر آپ دیکھیں تو اس سے اندازہ ہوتا ہے کہ اکثر ویسٹرن پیپل, یو نو, دے ڈونٹ ریئلائز کہ ہمارے یہاں حجاب کا معاملہ ہے, سیگریگیشن کا معاملہ ہے. لیکن اس کا مطلب یہ نہیں ہے کہ لیڈیز جو ہیں وہ سیکنڈ کلاس سٹیزن ہیں, ان کا کوئی اختیارات نہیں ہے. یو نو ان دی بیفور سکسٹیز, یہ ویسٹرن اسکالرز اسپیشلی دی اینتھروپولوجسٹ جاتے تھے مڈل ایسٹ میں, اسپیشلی دے وڈ گو ٹو ایجپٹ ٹو اسٹڈی دی کلچر دیر. وہ سیگریگیشن اور حجاب کی وجہ سے دے ویئر ناٹ ایبل ٹو, یو نو, انٹرویو اور ایون میٹ وومین اینڈ سی وٹ گوز آن ان سائڈ دی ہوم. تو وہ آ کے انہوں نے پوری رپورٹ لکھی, اس کلچر میں جو ہیں وومین بالکل دبائی جاتی ہیں, دے ہیو نو رول ان سوسائٹی, صرف مرد فیصلے کرتے ہیں. اباؤٹ تھری ڈیکیڈز کے بعد اب ویسٹرن وومین اینتھروپولوجسٹ اسٹارٹڈ گوئنگ دیر اینڈ دے ہیڈ ایکسیس ٹو دی وومین ان دی ہاؤسز. دے وڈ گو ایون دیر, سی دیم, ٹاک ٹو دیم, انٹرویو دیم. دس از ویئر دے کیم اپ وتھ اے انٹرسٹنگ, یو نو, ڈسکرپشن. دے سیڈ دیٹ ایز فار ایز وومین آر کنسرن, you do realize there is a public power and a private power. What you see outside is the man, but what you don't know that behind this public power is a private power. You know, go and ask all these men who arrange marriages of their sons or daughters, who is the decision maker there? Huh? They will vouch that this is the power, you know, private power which is there more, you know, visible. اور اسی سے اندازہ ہوتا ہے کہ اسلام نے پردے کی بات کی ہے, لیکن اس کا مطلب یہ نہیں کہ ان کو دبایا گیا ہے. پہلی مثال یہاں جناب خدیجہ کی ہم نے دی. وہ مرتبہ ہے کہ رسول اسلام کہتے ہیں کہ خدا نے کہا ہے کہ جنت کی چار خواتین ہیں, اس میں جناب خدیجہ بھی شامل ہیں. ہماری تاریخ میں مسلسل یہ نام خواتین کے آتے ہیں. پھر جناب سیدہ کا نام ہے, سیدۃ النساء العالمین. ان چار خواتین جو جنت میں بہترین ہیں ان میں وہ بھی ہیں. پھر جناب فاطمہ کے بعد جناب زینب کا رول. کربلا نامکمل ہے زینب کے بغیر. حسین کا کام عاشور کے دن ختم ہو گیا, لیکن مشن واز ناٹ کمپلیٹ. مشن آگے چلا ہے اور اس کو مکمل کیا ہے جناب زینب نے اور جناب ام کلثوم نے. اسی طرح سے آپ تاریخ میں جا کے دیکھیں, ائمہ کے دور میں all the way to the 11th امام's time, جناب حکیمہ خاتون, ان کا رول بہت اہم تھا. جب امام حسن عسکری سے کسی نے پوچھا کہ when we don't have access to you, کس سے جا کے ہم مسائل پوچھیں, تو اس وقت جو ہیں وہ کہہ فرماتے ہیں کہ ہماری جو آنٹ ہے جناب حکیمہ سے جا کے پوچھو. تو وہ صحابی کو بڑا تعجب ہوا کہ امام, از دیر اے پریزیڈنس ان یور ہسٹری کہ آپ ہمیں کہہ رہے ہیں کہ ہم کسی لیڈی سے جا کے پوچھیں, آپ کی ہی فیملی کی ہیں. تو گیارہویں امام کہتے ہیں کہ یہ جو ہم نے کیا ہے اقتدیت بجد الحسین، ہم نے پیروی کی ہے اسی پالیسی کی جو ہمارے جد حسین نے کیا تھا کہ عاشور کے بعد ذمہ داری اس موومنٹ اور اس تحریک کی جو ہے زینب کے حوالے کی ہے. اور اسی ناموں میں ہم دیکھتے ہیں کہ مثلا جناب معصومہ قم کا نام ہے. جناب معصومہ قم کے بارے میں واقعات کربلا کی طرح تو نہیں ہیں، لیکن یہ جو بھائی بہن کا رشتہ ہے، اس کا تقدس، اس کا احترام، محبت کی جو باتیں ہیں، احترام اسپیشلی رسپیکٹ، امام حسین علیہ السلام آخری وقت جب آئے تھے آخری الوداع میں جناب زینب سے کیا کہتے ہیں؟ کہتے ہیں یا اختا لا تنسانی فی صلاۃ اللیل، اے بہن نماز شب میں اس بھائی کو مت بھولنا. یہ کون سا بھائی ہے؟ یہ وہ بھائی ہے جو امام ہے، معصوم ہے، سید شباب اہل جنہ ہے، لیکن بہن کا اتنا احترام کرتا ہے کہ پھر بھی وہ بہن سے کہہ رہے ہیں کہ نماز شب میں مجھے مت بھولنا. امام رضا علیہ السلام امام ہے، لیکن جب فاطمہ معصومہ قم کی بات ہوتی ہے تو وہاں پر خود امام رضا علیہ السلام کہتے ہیں اپنے اصحاب سے کہ جاؤ جا کے زیارت کرو ان کی قبر کی. من زارها فله الجنہ، جو میں میری بہن فاطمہ کی زیارت کرے گا وہ در حقیقت جنت کا حقدار بن سکتا ہے. اسی طرح سے مثلا آپ دیکھیں امام زین العابدین کوفہ میں جناب زینب کے بارے میں کیا کہتے ہیں، انت عالمۃ غیر معلمہ، پھوپھی آپ نے جو تقریر کی ہے بس اس کو اب یہاں پہ روک دیں. اور ہم گواہی دیتے ہیں، معصوم امام گواہی دیتا ہے اپنے پھوپھی کے بارے میں کہ آپ وہ عالمہ ہیں جس کا کوئی ٹیچر نہیں ہے، خدا نے آپ کو یہ فیض دیا ہے علم کا. یہاں بھی آپ دیکھیں کہ جناب فاطمہ معصومہ قم کے نیفیو امام جواد وہ بھی ایگزیکٹلی وہی بات کر رہے ہیں جو بابا نے کی تھی ان کی، من زار عمتی بقم فلہ الجنہ، جو میری پھوپھی جو قم میں ہیں ان کی زیارت کے لیے جائے وہ جنت کا مستحق بن سکتا ہے. اس سے اندازہ ہوتا ہے کہ جناب معصومہ قم کی جو اہمیت ہے خاندان اہل بیت میں بہت اہم تھی، اور اسی لحاظ سے یہ جو روزہ ہے اور جو تاکید ہے علماء کی زیارت کے لیے یہ خود معصوم کی بنیاد پر ہے. بس ہم اتنا کہیں گے کہ جناب معصومہ قم اور امام رضا علیہ السلام میں قربت بہت تھی، بہت قریب تھے ایک دوسرے سے، بالکل زینب اور حسین کی طرح. لیکن امام رضا علیہ السلام سے اور امام محمد تقی الجواد سے آج ہم صرف ایک جملہ کہنا چاہیں گے کہ جناب معصومہ نے اپنے بھائی کی اذیت کو نہیں دیکھا تھا. امام رضا علیہ السلام یقیناً غریب الغربا تھے، عالم تنہائی میں زہر کی وجہ سے ان کی شہادت واقع ہوئی طوس میں، لیکن بہن تھی بھی نہیں اس زمانے میں کہ اس منظر کو دیکھتی. لیکن اس بہن کو آپ یاد کریں کہ جس کے سپورٹ سب کچھ حسین کر کے گئے تھے. آخر میں یہی کہا تھا نا حسین نے زینب سے کہ دیکھو جب تک اب ہم خیموں سے دور نہیں جائیں گے، ہر حملے کے بعد ہم خیمے کے قریب آئیں گے، اپنا مرکز بنائیں گے، بلند آواز میں کہیں گے لا حول ولا قوۃ الا باللہ العلی العظیم. جب تک یہ آواز آتی رہے زینب سمجھنا تمہارا بھائی زندہ ہے، خیمے سے باہر مت نکلنا. زینب بار بار انتظار میں تھی، بھائی آئے، آواز ہوئی، اطمینان ہوا زینب کو حسین زندہ ہے. سکینہ یہ آواز سنتی تھی، معلوم تھا کہ بابا زندہ ہے. جناب رباب یہ آواز سنتی تھی، سمجھتی تھی کہ امام وقت جو ہیں زندہ ہیں. لیکن جب بہت دیر ہو گئی اور آواز نہیں آئی، اس وقت زینب نے خیمے کے پردے کو اٹھایا، دیکھا کہ حسین کہیں نظر نہیں آتے ہیں، خیمے کے باہر جاتی ہیں. ادھر دیکھا حسین نظر نہیں آئے، بائیں دیکھا حسین نظر نہیں آئے، چلنا شروع کیا اس بلندی پہ پہنچتی ہیں جس کو آج کل کربلا میں تلے زینبیہ کہا جاتا ہے۔ زداران حسین آپ نے دیکھا ہے وہ فاصلہ تلے زینبیہ کا اور امام کی جہاں شہادت ہوئی ہے اتنا زیادہ نہیں ہے۔ زینب اس بلندی سے وہ منظر دیکھتی ہے جو خداوندہ کسی بہن کو نہ دکھانا اپنے بھائی کے سلسلے میں، دیکھتی ہے کہ حسین زمین کربلا پر پڑے ہیں اور شمر ملعون کا منحوس زانو جو ہے امام کے مقدس سینے پر ہے۔ بس یہ دیکھتے ہوئے عمر بن سعد سے کہتی ہیں، اے عمر بن سعد تو دیکھتا رہے گا اور میرا بھائی قتل ہو جائے گا۔ اتنے میں وہ ظلم ہوا، ایک نیزہ بلند ہوا جس پر زینب نے حسین کے سر کو دیکھا، اپنے ہاتھوں کو بلند کرتی ہے، اللہم تقبل من ھذا القربان، خداوندہ اسلام کے خاطر اس قربانی کو قبول فرما۔ لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين، سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون۔ خدا وند اس قلب عباد قبول فرما، ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے، ہماری توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما۔ خدا وند شیعان علی جہاں بھی ہیں ان کو اپنے حفظ امان میں رکھ، تکفیری افواج کی تمام صلاحیت و نیست و نابود فرما، امام کے ظہور میں تعجل فرما۔ ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم۔